Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Betty Withrow. She is author of Prevail, 7 Keys to Create a Personal Victory. Prevail is a unique and major accomplishment by Betty, combining many different elements to create an inspirational guide that is full of practical tools, referencing the wisdom of the ages, and constantly pushing the reader to think. It is a story of strength and survival, as well as a, quote, self-help book. Telling this story took courage beyond measure. Betty has indeed overcome dramatic odds and come out with a list of 7 keys to victory that we can all use and relate to in overcoming our own struggles. Betty is a certified life coach trained by Life Coach Institute of Orange County in methods to help people improve their lives and find more enjoyment and fulfillment. Her Big Sur Retreat Camp has served as the platform for educational and recreational activities for many years, including successful music festivals, motorcycle events, knitting retreats, and school outings. For more information, you can visit her website, which is bettyofbigsur.com, and I have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Betty to the show. Good day, Betty.
Good day, Robert. Thank you for having me on the show.
It is my pleasure. Anything that I can do to help our listeners prevail is definitely something I want to do. So I usually like to start the show by having the guest kind of give a little bit of a kind of a recap or a summary of their journey to date, just so that the listeners can get an idea of where you came from. So if you wouldn't mind, would you share that with the listeners?
I would be happy to. I've lived in Big Sur since 1971, and I've lived here on the South Coast in the more remote part since 1973. And I've had a true pioneer experience here, landing in the wilderness as a young woman. I had to deal with a lot of physical things that most people in the modern world do not know about. And also, ever since the moment I got here, I've felt incredibly blessed on a spiritual level to have the experience to be here. And I've never lost sight of that for one moment, regardless of what else has happened.
Yeah, well, you know, I read a little bit on Amazon, you know, where people can kind of get a sneak peek into the book. And you describe your arrival in Big Sur, and I mean, to say it was rustic is probably putting it mildly. Seems like you had very much like you said, pioneer, like the pioneer days, of no running water, inside the home, and really kind of struggling, with basic the basic necessities of life.
Yes, that's true. That was very much the experience, and being completely surrounded by wild country for many miles in any direction, it brought out the need to become resourceful immediately. Luckily, I had a background of going camping, and I felt like this was great. I mean, this was just a wonderful campsite, and more than that. I mean, although it was really, truly, it was a little more than that. And then as time wore on, it became obvious that it was going to be a lot harder than any of us thought. And so it was certainly a matter of perseverance to bring the place into a condition where you could be comfortable at times. And although there was a tremendous amount of work involved, I have always loved it. And I feel that it's a great gift from the spirit to be allowed to be in a place like this.
Yeah, so, that was the one thing that, I noticed real quickly from reading your book. I think there was one comment, one sentence in there that I think it was under the, we're going to talk about the seven steps, but there was one of them, I believe it's cheerfulness, that you indicated it's the attitude and not the situation, it seems like, you had a situation that many people would find it difficult, to be happy in and satisfied and even find inspiration, but you did. And that's admirable. As a matter of fact, what's interesting is I had a woman on my show last week. She was born in the U.S., went to Tehran. Her family kind of uprooted her. And she was telling me all about the repressive stuff over there. But then talking about how happy her her friends were. And I was like, wow, that's truly one of those situations where happiness is a state of mind, not necessarily the environment.
Right. It's not about the things. It's about the way that the experience is processed within the person. It really isn't about what happens. It's about what do you do with that? How do you look at a situation? I mean, there's the old glass half empty, glass half full thing, and it's really valid. But it also goes beyond that when it's a full body, full life experience. In a lot of cases, the only way to really make it good is to pay attention to what's good and let everything else just not count.
Yeah, very much so.
And it's about that. It's about how you feel about your life.
Yeah, it certainly is. Now, Prevail, what was your inspiration for Prevail? I mean, what kind of led you to decide to write this book?
Well, I've been wanting to write a book, and I've had people telling me I should write a book for a long time. And I would always say, well, I don't really know what the book is about yet. And they'd go, well, tell your story. And I'm like, oh, I need to have it more than just my story in order to be justified. I feel that I need to kind of offer my life to the world and say, well, this is what I learned, and this is how I learned it, and you can do this too, and I did this for you. So what inspired me to write Prevail was literally that I feel that although I've faced a lot of hard things in my life, I've managed to create a life that I really find truly beautiful and rewarding. And I want to give back.
Yeah. You talked about, your more than your story, or that's the one thing that I think, I've had people come on the show lots of times and talk about their story, and everyone's story has value. The one thing that I actually even had one woman on once who called in, and I had one of those intuitive guests on that could answer questions, and she said, well, I want to write, and she went on to tell all the reasons why she couldn't write, and so the guest said, well, are you writing at all? Well, yeah, I'm doing my journal. And she says, well, write about you. It's, oh, no, I can't do that. Why could I couldn't even begin to do that. And I'm like, my goodness, each person's story is unique, and your life experience and how you overcame that experience is it's really important especially for women out there now who are going through maybe not the exact struggles you are, but similar types of struggles.
Yes, I'm glad to know that most people will not have to face the things that I've had to face, but everyone has
mm-hmm.
to face something.
Right.
And it is important that people get a message of hope. And also I wrote it for the people who have had those same type of experiences and need a beacon of hope. That, you know, there are so many people who did not make it and their voices are not heard. So there's a need for the world to look at what actually goes on in life, and it's so often overlooked, and just say, okay,
yeah.
Well, everybody counts. Everyone counts, and as you said, everyone's story is important. You know, I started this book trying to write more about the reader, and then people kept telling me, my editor insisted I had to put more of me into the story so that the reader would know
uh-huh.
who was talking. Yeah, and I'm like, okay, I'll do that, you know. So, yeah, I get that. I don't want to talk about myself, but that's who you have to work with. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's those experiences and like you say, what you have done to overcome that, to prevail, you know, despite, you know, obstacles. And so, you know, well, let's go ahead and I'd like to talk a little bit about each of the seven steps that you list, you know, for the reader to get an idea. Now, the one thing I want the listeners to know is that in your book, you give your personal experience with these particular steps. And to me, you know, that's really the value for listeners to really kind of bring it home in a way, as far as, you know, how these steps or perspectives can really help, you know, achieve the person to achieve, you know, personal victories in their life. So let's start with cheerfulness. Why did you start with cheerfulness, and exactly what does that mean to you?
Well, I started with cheerfulness because even if there isn't anything visible that you can truly say, well, I have this, you still have your inner state. And with the state of cheerfulness, you can pretty much say, well, I have everything because I'm ready to face the world with a positive attitude and turn my attention to what is bright and light and good in this situation, because even the terrible situation will have something in it, some place in it that can be identified as a place of that, and that's what lasts. Cheerfulness, you know, you think of the people that you meet during your day. Who is it that you want to remember at the end of the day? It's the person who was smiling and was just nice for no particular reason and took whatever was going on and turned it into something that everybody could enjoy. So
yeah.
I started with that because that's the most basic skill.
Yeah, you know, the one thing, and cheerfulness is really kind of different from happiness. I mean, cheerfulness to me represents just that outward expression. You know, where happiness quite often is an internal feeling or, you know, display. To me, you know, cheerfulness is really kind of the outward expression of that. And, you know, that, you know, in your book you talk about how that being cheerful really impacts those around you. Now, you're right, you know, we do want to remember those who are cheery and, you know, and make us smile. Now, I believe in your book, wasn't there a point that when under cheerfulness that you said some of the people around you really got irritated sometimes with your cheerfulness?
Yes, that definitely did happen. You know, and by the way, I do agree with you that happiness is a state you experience, and then cheerfulness is taking that out to the world. Cheerfulness is an active principle. And, yes, people got annoyed with me for keeping a smile on my face when, you know, it would be easy to say, well, I have every right to be miserable. You know, and but I also I kind of feel like, well, what right do I have to be miserable when I'm getting to be in a situation that I've always wanted, even if it turned out to not be exactly the way I thought it was going to be, which was certainly the case. I still felt like that focusing on the negative wasn't going to actually do anything. So why do that? The only way you can actually accomplish making an improvement, for instance, is to be able to say, yes, we can do this, and go ahead and do it. But, yeah, people don't always appreciate that. I mean, when you're out in a public place, you know, you try to do that random act of kindness and smile at somebody, they may kind of like, what's wrong with you, you know? But that doesn't matter, really, because the next person will probably really appreciate that and smile back, so...
Yeah, it's funny. I'm one of those who like walks every morning. You know, my little nature walk every morning kind of is what balances me. And I run across. I mean, a path crosses many people who are out on their walk, and I'm always, you know, hi, saying hi, waving, and you know, a good majority, you know, do the same back. But every now and then there's that, you know, sour grape, you know, that just, you know, just doesn't say anything and walks by. And, you know, when that happened, I kind of just smiled and I was like, okay, well, you go ahead and have a good day, you know. But it's funny because some people, it seems like some people just don't want to be happy, don't want to be cheery.
Yes, because it's safe to be miserable. Then you know what you've got. And you don't have to do anything about it. And then the other people who are miserable will reinforce this for you as well. You know, it's more work to be cheerful, so it's certainly more rewarding too. And yet, because when you're cheerful, you have to like find the cheerful people. The miserable people will always come. You're miserable. Misery loves company, and they'll seek you out and say, "Yes, isn't it terrible?" And we can all be terrible together. We don't have to do anything about it. You know,
yeah. So. Yeah. I just think that it's just interesting whenever I come across that. And so so now cheerfulness is one of the steps, and another one is patience. That's one of those that, you know, God give me patience, but give it to me now. You know.
Yeah.
So, but so why do you find, you know, this is one of those keys, you know, for victory, personal victory?
Well, patience doesn't come easily. It is a gift that is attained just by sticking with it, which is different from having. Sticking with it is one thing. Having patience is another. Patience is what allows life to bring to you what you want. I mean, if you pick the fruit before it's ripe, then that doesn't work out. I think I mentioned that in the book. And with patience, you can actually see into the moment and into the situation at hand in a way that allows you to honor your own perceptions and be a lot more present than you will be if you're rushing through to the next moment.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing about patience I think that some people miss, you know, is the fact that, first of all, that it's, if you're being impatient, that means you're, you know, expecting something like at a different time period, things to happen in your time frame, when in fact, you know, there is, you know, a whole universe out there that has everything laid out, you know, according to a certain timetable, and you just kind of have to, you know, but I mean, if you want to be happy and you know, content and not anxious, then it's best to go ahead and be more in the present.
Yeah, I mean, rushing through the moment gives you not very much, except then you need to rush through the next moment because you're never quite where you are. And then that means that the universe can't bring you your gift. If you're not ready to sit there and be ready to listen, then you can't hear the message.
Yeah. So for those listeners out there, if you find yourself being impatient, you know, just recognize that it's just a timing thing, and just kind of be more present. You know, not worry about things happening. You know, because, you know, for me, that was one of my biggest challenges. And every now and then it still pops up its ugly head, you know, is that I want certain things to happen according to my plan, you know, and I've gotten much better at it. But, you know, every now and then when that happens, I do step aside, you know, and then kind of take a look at it. And it's like, okay, you know, what is there maybe something that I'm missing, or is there, you know, because sometimes it's kind of like certain things have to happen in order, you know, in a sequence, you know. So it's kind of like, you know, if I want, you know, I want a particular result, there may be somebody out there I have to meet, and I haven't met them yet, you know, and I just kind of have to sit back and relax and realize that, you know, it will come as long as I keep my focus and just be aware of what's happening around me.
Yeah, it's very true. So often, and I still have to deal with that too. I admire patience and I practice it as well as I can. And on the other hand, it does come up. And, you know, why hasn't this happened yet? As I said, it's when it's time. And possibly the person or the situation has not gotten right. Or also whether or not one is actually ready for the experience to happen. You know, I've set a new goal. I really want the goal to happen right now. And maybe the way that the goal has been envisioned isn't really the best way for you,
right?
Or for me,
that's very important.
Actually, we can do better than that, you know.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, sometimes things can unfold much better than we expect, you know, and if we just allow things to happen. So now, in addition to patience and cheerfulness, it was friendliness. Now, how would you define that, you know, as far as a key element versus cheerfulness? How is friendliness distinctive?
Well, friendliness is the ability to recognize that there are friends everywhere. That you can have a friendship that only lasts 25 seconds and you may or may not ever see that person again, and it's still a valid friendship. It's still something that's good that enriches both of your lives. You know, that one person who did smile back at you, and then you have a short conversation, and a lot of times those short conversations really reveal a lot about life, because there's nothing to stop that from happening. And on the other hand, deep friendships, long-standing friendships, are totally the staff of life. I mean, that's one of the most important elements of having a good life, is to have people that you are there for and they are there for you. And the nature of that changes over time. You know, you may be close friends at one time, and then later, well, it's a note here and there on Facebook. And that's okay, because your friends change and you change throughout life, and there's always going to be, if you're ready, the next friend that shows up for you who is really going to help you learn what you need to learn and help you teach what you need to teach in the terms of a friendship. And of course, you get a chance to help your friends and ask your friends for help if you need it. Those are good things. And it puts a better tone on the world if you kind of, instead of going, wow, everybody's out to get me, and, you know, this next guy is coming, I don't know about him, if instead you just go, well, you know, I may not understand this person, but I need to, like, be open-minded enough to give them and their point of view and their world a chance and kind of let go of needing to be right and make your point, then you can actually see the friend that's in there in waiting for you in their heart and in your own heart.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing, you know, in today's world with Facebook, you know, we've got tons of friends, you know, and it's interesting because I think the definition of what a friend is, differs for each person. Each person, I think, you know, you talked about deep friendships, you know, and I think quite often people look at that relationship, that deep connection, as really what a friend is, and anybody else isn't, you know. But I like your perspective that even someone in passing who you interact with even maybe just once can be a friend. You know, and I think the idea of exerting the, you know, the energy and the warmth that you would to that deep friendship to everyone is what really makes life richer.
Yes, it certainly does. It really does.
Yeah.
While you were talking, I remembered something that a friend of mine said about friendship, and I really took this to heart. He said, you can't cherry-pick your friends. No, you can't take the parts you like and leave aside the ones you don't like. You have to accept the whole person. They're either your friend or they're not. And I kind of went, well, that really gives everybody a lot of room to grow and just really express themselves instead of the idea that, well, if you're my friend, you'll act this way or that way. You're my friend. I give you a heart. I'll allow you to be who you need to be, wherever that takes both of us. That's real friendship.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, that's real important. And you know, to kind of use my little walking again as an example, you know, I find myself a much friendlier person now than years past. You know, and I'm originally from New York, and I didn't know, I could go living years and years in one place and would not know my neighbors at all, not even to say hello. And even when we would pass each other on the sidewalk, you know, in very close proximity, I wouldn't even wave. And then when I moved here to South Carolina, it's like I'm walking and all of a sudden everybody says hi. You know, I don't know anyone. Yeah, I mean, I don't know most of them, you know, but they all say hi and they're all very friendly. And it's really, I have found it just really interesting. And I have obviously now shifted my outwardly friendliness, you know, as a result of that. But I live in an area where we get a lot of snowbirds, people from the north, and it's so interesting because there will be a lot of people who will come down from the, you know, the Atlantic states or the Northeast, and they're very much that, you know, don't say anything, don't talk. I mean, I think just from a people watching standpoint, to me, it's interesting, you know, that, you know, our environment can really have such an impact on our outward, you know, on our disposition and how cheerful or not we can be.
Yeah, it sure does. I'm from the Northeast originally myself, and I understand what you're talking about. What I found about living here in the wilderness is that, first of all, there's not a whole lot of people around, usually. And because of that, I really treasure the interactions that I do have with people. You know, not to say that I like everybody or I enjoy every minute
uh-huh.
of it. But I go out in the world and say I'm in town, and I actively am looking for opportunities to find friendly moments and project friendliness and, you know, find new friends. I mean, I engage in networking and social activities of that kind to make my life richer and also to pass along what I have, the gifts that I have been given by the Spirit. I feel like, you know, it's part of my responsibility to pass that along as well as I can. But, you know, it is really amazing how differently people act in different environments according to what the standards are of the group of people that they are in proximity to.
Yeah, exactly. It's wild. Well, we're about halfway through the show, so I want to go ahead and give the listener, take a quick break, about 90 seconds here.
Okay.
And I do invite listeners, if you would like to call in and ask Betty any questions, feel free to call in. The number is 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have a question that you would like to pose to Betty, feel free to type it in there, and we'll get to that right after the break. And then, Betty, when we come back, I want to continue on talking about some of those other steps and also to talk about your wonderful Big Sur retreat camp. It just looks lovely, wonderful. So I want to talk a little bit about that, okay?
Yes, sounds great.
Okay, great. So everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Robert Sharp from Bringing Inspiration to Earth. There are several ways for a win-win situation where you can support our work and you receive a quality product. You can purchase the book or ebook of Joy Potential or It's No Secret Spirituality Bites. Each book has helped readers shift their perspective away from negativity towards a happier, less stressful life. Or you can shop at our wellness store where we offer essential oils, personal care, and wellness products. I am a very frugal shopper, and these are high-quality items I use that really contribute to my well-being. Or you can purchase our amazing nature photo greeting cards. These are great, all-occasion, unique 5x7 folding cards. They're my most popular nature photos, and everyone who has received one raves about the scene. All options are available at our website, www.biteradio.me, and I am very appreciative of your support of our efforts and the work of our special radio guests.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. And like I mentioned there, I do appreciate you supporting our guests. And today's guest is Betty Withrow. And you can support her by going to her website, which is www.bettyofbigsur.com. There is a link to that website in the show page description. And when you get there, you can check out her book, which we're talking about, Prevail, 7 Keys to Create a Personal Victory. But you can also support her by checking out her Big Sur retreat. So if you have any kind of events planned and you need a pristine location, definitely contact her. But also you can read her blog, catch up on what she does. She has a wonderful set of designs and images for things she creates, which we'll talk a little bit about that. And also she does coaching. So there's a lot of ways that you could support Betty. And with that, I'd like to welcome Betty back. Okay, Betty, we are back.
Wow, what a great intro.
There you go.
You.
I got it all covered. So support Betty. And anyway, so well, you know, you do have some, you know, wonderful things to offer in quite a variety. So you know, that's, you know, and there's things that can meet some very specific needs. So. Well, let's go ahead and continue to talk about some of the 7 steps. We talked about cheerfulness, patience, and friendliness, and creativity. Since I also I did mention about your creative designs and images that you have on your website as a working artist, how does creativity fit into the picture? And do you think everyone has a creative spark within them?
I do. I think that everyone has that. To, you know, each person has something that is unique about their life and their spirit, and everyone has the ability to create something. I mean, people may say, oh, I'm not creative. I don't know how to draw. I don't know how to do anything. I don't know how to make things. But you're making your life every day. And the creativity involves you have a set of circumstances. You wake up, you're surrounded in some environment, there are responsibilities that you have, there are people that you care about, there are things you need to do. You know, everybody's got that, that's pretty much baseline. Every human has
mm-hmm.
that as part of their thing. And so in what way is the response framed that causes the day to, you know, to be performed? It comes around because there's a response that you have to needing to do these things, and you find a way that works to put together the factors in such a way that they get the jobs, the various jobs done. And also, in the part about creativity in creating your actual victory is seeing that you have the choices about how you're doing these things. For instance, you know, incorporating the part about, you know, having to add the cheerfulness and so on, but also that you're making your life up as you go along.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff happens. You know, there's an event that, you know, some occurrence happens and it needs to be responded to in some way. You can react or you can co-create. You can say, this is so terrible. Here I am stuck in traffic and, you know, I'm not saying that's a good thing. It's not a fun thing. But on the other hand, it's an opportunity to really unfold within a certain part of your mind about something that you may not have noticed earlier about yourself or about someone you're thinking about or some situation that you're in. If you allow yourself to step away from, for example, being annoyed about, you know, the jerk who just cut you off, and instead say, well, you know, too bad he's in such a hurry. At least I have, you know, kind of a little bit better of a grip than that. And, grab your breath and say, okay, now here's something in my life, for example, that I don't like this traffic jam. What am I going to do about it? And, you know, that's where creativity takes courage. You have to actually be ready to face that you're going to need to look at stuff that you may not like in order to frame a creative response. And also creativity involves having things change form, which is commonly known as destroying things. You know, like if you have something that really doesn't work, in order to move to a new version of life, it's necessary to disconnect from all the stuff that doesn't work. And this can be a very uncomfortable thing. This is why so many people shut down their creativity and say, no, actually, life is happening to me and there's nothing I can do about it. But that's incorrect. Life is happening with you and you are happening with life. So learning to listen to the messages of life and respond in a gentle way that gives more credit to yourself than saying, I just have to put up with this. I'm just the victim here. That's creativity. Anybody who's ever done that for 1 minute is a creative person.
Yeah. You know, I like the way that you framed, you know, that creative opportunity, you know, that, you know, when we're in situations that sometimes can be frustrating, you know, excuse me, the fact, you know, when you talked about some things have to be destroyed, you know, there's, you know, kind of a common idea, you know, whenever you have, you know, revitalization of neighborhoods, a lot of time you see the, you know, the tearing down of the old in order to, you know, build something new, you know, and that, to me, excuse me, that tearing down can be, you know, for some frightening, like you mentioned, you know, because it's, again, something they know. It may not be pretty, but it's something that you know. You know, but then if you really want to have a better life, a better life experience, then, you know, we have to break down those things that aren't pretty, that aren't serving any purpose, in order to reconstruct something new.
Yes, and also the creative part means saying, okay, I recognize all these things that I'm taking apart now as potential energy, and they can be reassembled in a different form or changed into something else that I do want because I have taken them from the form that they were in, but the energy is still there. So then that's actually a very exciting moment, and it's also frightening because, you know, you don't know what's going to happen next. You know, what is this going to look like? You know, will I really be happier after having done this, or will I wish that I hadn't, or, you know, or any of that? But it's a moment that's filled with potential, because when you don't know what's going to happen, anything can happen. And that's an amazing amazing opportunity to just step into your life and say, all right, universe, I'm ready. Let's go.
Yeah. One of my favorite thoughts or sayings is that, you know, in a state of chaos, anything is possible. You know, so, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I mean, when your life is in such huge disarray, when everything is just not working right, I mean, it's like the biggest opportunity to create whatever it is you want, to reshape, like you say, using that same energy to reshape what it is you want. So like all the pieces are thrown up in the air, you know, so let them fall into creating the puzzle, you know, the picture of the puzzle that you want to see. So I personally like that. And, you know, and just when, you know, thinking in a more, you know, traditional thought of creativity, I love to create. I mean, I'm one of those who, you know, I've got the books, I've got photos, I've got the calendars, like, you know, and I just, you know, I'm a regular creating machine, you know, and you know, you have your designs and that kind of thing, and I kind of mentioned to you that one of my things is crochet, you know, and I create designs all the time. You know, those are, to me, I do that just out of the sheer joy of being able to do that. You know, I don't know what's going to come of any of that, you know, the books, any of the stuff that I make. But to me, that doesn't matter. You know, it's the idea that I can create something take something from the thought and bring it into the physical reality. To me, that's what really inspiration is.
Yeah, it is a wonderful feeling. I too am constantly creating. I mean, I say if I'm not making something for me, there's something wrong. You know, if I don't have like at least a couple of projects ticking around, it's that's never happened. So I can't really say what that would mean.
yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, it's a way of channeling. You know, like you were saying, channeling the chaos, because. I mean, in the book, I talk about that moment when I realized, yes, my life has truly fallen apart here. And, you know, I can't say I was happy about that. And on the other hand, it has been a tremendous opportunity for me to reinvent not only my personality, but my life in general, and to enlarge my sense of this possible to a degree that I couldn't have imagined earlier in life.
Yeah.
And that's been great.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, I went through that whole recreation when I started the radio show about 5 years ago. And I never thought I would have done that, you know, but you know, it has been one of the most rewarding things. I've talked to people from all over the world, you know, and even though I still don't care to hear my own voice, you know, I don't let that stop me from chatting and bringing people like you, you know, to the listeners. But, you know, and when I went ahead and decided to do that, it was like, okay, I'm going to, you know, create, or not really create, but just I'm going to put forth, you know, this image of what I want to see happen. And that's what I've been doing for 5 years. And it's just, it's been great. It's been an evolutionary thing, you know. It changes each year. I kind of step it up a little bit here and there. But that's the joy of creating, you know. Like you say, you know, not everything has worked perfectly, but that's okay too, because at least I try, you know, and that's, I think that's a critical point is, you know, not everything is going to be a huge success as defined by maybe your peers or the world, but if you go through and trying to me is success of its own merit.
Yeah, without making the effort, you certainly won't get anything to happen, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, and
exactly.
The Chinese have a great thing that says, failure in life does not matter. The greatest misfortune is standing still. I got that from a fortune cookie.
I like that.
It came to a critical moment. And I just kind of went, wow, you know, I'm going to pin that to the milking room wall, because I really need to remember that every single day. And it really sustained me more than you think a simple sentence or two simple sentences would do. So.
Absolutely. Well, one of the other steps of the seven steps you indicate is fortitude. Would you mind explaining that and how, you know, that is a key to success?
Yeah. First of all, I would like to say that fortitude was definitely the hardest part of the book to write. There's nothing particularly easy about fortitude. It basically means being with life on life's own terms instead of saying, okay, well, I really need to win here, or, well, my idea has to get out there and I need to, you know, I need to be validated or whatever that is. There's a lot of that, you know, in the current thought system that, you know, you have to make your mark and do your stuff and so on. Fortitude is different. Fortitude is saying, well, come what may, I have the knowledge within myself that I will accept and be with my truth and the truth that life gives me. And it means not shying away from things that are difficult and being ready to admit things to yourself and to life that may be uncomfortable. But on the other hand, fortitude is wonderful because it's one of the thinkers said it's the guardian of all the other virtues. And I really find that to be true because if you just kind of like it's really like putting down your weapons and saying, okay, I'm going to sit here and listen to what the teacher is telling me. Then when you actually do that, then life kind of opens up and says, okay, now that you're ready to behave, we're ready to tell you the real stuff.
Okay.
And, you know, it's tough beans sometimes, but
yeah.
It can also, as I said, be really beautiful, especially when you apply it to, everybody has something in their family life that is hard to handle, for instance. And instead of saying, well, you know, I'm sorry, I'm just not ready to listen to that point of view because I find it to be ridiculous. Instead, you say, okay, that doesn't go with my values, and I'm not really current with whatever made you come to that point of view. On the other hand, I'm ready to take your idea at face value, listen to you, and be able to not, you know, you don't have to accept everything about it, you know, and take it to heart. Yep, you're right, but say, okay, well, you have a right to feel that way, even if it's not something that I would agree with. And it doesn't even, you know, it's not even whether you respect it or not. It's just like, I agree that you are entitled to be who you are, you know, saying, and saying that to life, too, saying, hey, life, I'm not grooving with this. I'm not enjoying this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm ready to say so, and I'm ready to ask for better, and meanwhile, I'm ready to accept because that's the moment that I'm in.
Yeah.
And knowing the moment change into something else.
Yeah. Well, you know, that is, I could see where that would have been the toughest to write about because, you know, there are those things, those unpleasant things in life that we just it would be so much easier to just ignore, you know, or not give attention to. But it's obviously those things that they're showing up in our life for a reason, for us to be able to take a look at and maybe make adjustments and become a better person, you know, or make better choices, you know, as a result of what it is that we see. You know, basically life showing us something to make us better.
Yeah, and a lot of times the hardest things teach you the most. Like you can't learn everything by being happy all the time. That wouldn't work. You know, life gives you those other things so that you can gain more depth and be able to appreciate the happiness better. Whoops, there goes my dog.
That's all right. Animals love this radio stuff. So, but there's, you know, there are things that, I mean, I've often, you know, talked about, you know, a lot of people have really gained a lot through adversity, you know, a lot of that strength through adversity type of you know, awareness, you know, and I think that's great. But sometimes I ask, you know, why can't I have a little bit more awareness without the adversity? You know, let me go ahead and become more aware and do it in a happy way. So, but anyway.
And it's true, you know, I mean, happiness is preferable, you know, but on the other hand, I can truly say if I hadn't had adversity, I would be unbearable. I mean, I would be just like so egocentric and you know, like full of my truth and unwilling to listen that, you know, nobody wants to be around someone like that. So I kind of feel like, okay, life said, you know, you need to slow down here and learn to listen a little bit more and open up your heart some more and kind of get with it.
It does generate a little bit of humility and compassion, you know, if you go through that kind of stuff. So, gosh, we're down to 10 minutes, so I want to kind of go through the last couple, perseverance. But you mentioned perseverance before, and boy, that's, you know, that's the one thing that I've noticed so often. A lot of people just give up when the going gets a little tough. And so is that kind of what perseverance means, is just to continue at something?
It means that, yeah, continuing on and also being ready to, you know, possibly make adjustments, because the way that you initially visualize the situation turns out to be not quite accurate. So then, you know, you might need to adjust something about what you're doing or how you're framing it in your mind and in your spirit. But perseverance means, you know, sticking with it, because sticking with it is what really makes things happen. It's easy to start things. To actually follow the pathway of perseverance where right in the middle you're kind of like, oh, what a stupid idea this was. I can't believe it. I thought this was going to work. And then, you know, not giving up 5 minutes before the miracle, as a friend of mine says, and go, you know, just keep going and say, okay, you know, at least I need to give myself credit that I can do this, which is hard, and I see so-and-so over there started and then sort of just gave up halfway through, and if they just followed through, everything would have worked for them. You know, apply that lesson and say, okay, yeah, I can do this, even though, like, walking through the snow, your boots are already soaking wet, you still have to get there. So, you know, you're going to keep walking even if your shoes are wet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's one of the things, you know, I recognize quite often is that, you know, there is that need for, you know, granted you may adjust your, you know, your approach to certain things, you know, to a particular goal, you know, if you run into an obstacle, but nonetheless, if it's something that you really want, it's really important to keep at it. And, you know, and just like you say, don't stop before that miracle. But you mentioned also completion, which is also the last step that you mentioned in Prevail. So completion in what sense?
Completion is, well, you know when the job is finished, you know, you can tell when something's done. And then there's also the part about knowing when something is not going to complete and saying, okay, well, that's completion in itself. You know, I recognize that this is not happening, it's not going to happen, and that means it's complete for me. But more the completion part is also about recognizing the change that happens within a person when a project is complete. I think that's the reason a lot of people don't finish things, because if they finish them, then they won't be able to focus on that anymore. They'll have to focus on the next step, and then their creation will be meaningful, and people will, you know, they'll have to face the world with their creation. And I certainly know what that feels like as an artist. You know, sometimes people just love the stuff, and other times they're like, oh, that's interesting, which I never want to hear. But, I want to hear, I must have that, or that's brilliant, or something. You know, that's just how my personality works. But, but completion is, you know, it's a big one for so many people. I mean, and I know this is, I have sometimes procrastinated for long periods of time to finish something, because I knew that I was going to have to change if I finished it. You know, like finishing the book. I can say the book transformed my awareness of my life in a way that I could not have foreseen. And I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah, you know that's really interesting. First of all, you know, I agree with you about the a lot of people avoid completion. I know someone in my circle who has been working on a book for, you know, like 8 years now. You know, and there was a time when I had gotten my first one done, and I was looking at self-publishing stuff. And he also was looking at self-publishing, so we kind of shared information back and forth. And anyway, I made the decision who I was going to go with, went ahead and did it, and, you know, gosh, that was in 2012. He still hasn't, you know, published his book. And I just, to me, I kind of sit back and I'm thinking, you know, I know that it's out of fear, you know, I mean, because, you know, once, like you say, once you do that, you kind of, you know, throw it out there and it's now open up for, you know, either acceptance or criticism, you know, and, you know, that, you know, a lot of us don't like to be criticized. Like you said, you know, you want people to look at your creation and say, oh, I need that, versus, oh, that's interesting, you know, but even that's interesting can be, is okay, you know what I mean? It's, but
sure.
You know, but I understand, you know, I understand that, you know, that, but you know, that is, it is so true that I believe a lot of people procrastinate, and you know, it's so important to bring things to a conclusion, because without that, you can't have anything new. I mean, there's just not enough room to have all of these unfinished either projects or aspects to life. I mean, it just doesn't allow for anything new. And to me, that's very, very boring.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. And I think that, you know, getting stuck, it becomes clutter is a problem. You know, you have this project that's been sitting around and it's kind of nagging at you and sapping your energy, and you need to finish and face the fear of completion, which is valid one, but it's, you know, like fears, it's valid, but that, don't let that stop you, you know. And make room, because it's true. There's not, if you have all these things kicking around in the consciousness and saying, you still didn't finish this yet, don't you feel kind of guilty about that? You really ought to do that. And then the next thing you know, you're good. Just kind of takes everything away. And, you know, so. That's what I got from the book, is like, okay, figure out if you're going to finish it. If you are, finish it. If you're not going to finish it because you're not inspired anymore, that's okay. Let it go.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Call it complete, wherever it is. Yeah, exactly. Well, gosh, we're down to the last couple of minutes here, Betty. I would really love for you to talk just a little bit about your Big Sur retreat camp. I understand it's on 44 acres up there in Big Sur.
Yes, it's on 44 acres. It's in the middle of the national forest. It has wonderful features like a freshwater swimming pond. It has redwoods with a little loop that goes through, a private redwood loop. I have a very pleasant campground, and I've just put up a little mini studio in the ranch house where a person can come, because not everyone likes to camp. And I'm also working on getting some of the outbuildings fitted out as cabins so that people can stay there. I love to have people around. You know, as I said, I live out here in the middle of nowhere, as some people call it, but I consider it the middle of everywhere. And it's the greatest thing in the world for me to watch people get a chance to unwind and help them facilitate that, make them comfortable, and share that with them. So, and for me, it's all about sharing. I'm a sharing person. That's what my life is about. And so I want to share with you.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's great. I'm going to definitely, you know, keep you, in the forefront of my mind whenever it comes to it. I'm going to the couple people I know who have been looking for, you know, places for events. I'm going to make sure I send them a little quick note to tell them to listen to the show, and also a link to your website, Betty of Big Sur, for them to check that out, because it sounds. I mean, I know Big Sur. I mean, I really only stopped at Nepente, you know, a couple of times, but it's beautiful, you know, and it's just such a gorgeous area. Well, I want to thank you for your time today, Betty. This has really been a lot of fun, and I've enjoyed our chat.
Well, I have too, Robert. You've asked me some good questions and kind of prodded me to think a little bit more about the material. If people want to just look at the book, they could go to prevail7keys.com, and they'll go right to the book page. But as you say, there's a lot on my website. I do a lot of different things, and I love to hang out. So, you know, get in touch, and if you want to come out in the wilderness, I will take care of you and make sure you have the best time ever.
That's great. Well, thank you again for your time today. I look forward to keeping in touch with you. And again, I appreciate your time chatting with me today.
I appreciate yours, too. I'm going to look for you on Facebook.
Great. Thank you. Exactly. We'll definitely connect there, and that's a perfect way to keep in touch. Okay, great. Again, everyone today, my very special guest has been Betty Withrow. She is author of Prevail, 7 Keys to Create a Personal Victory. And again, she also has her Big Sur Retreat Camp, her blog, and all of her wonderful creations that she works with, especially with Designs for Women. So check that out. Again, you can find out all about everything that I just mentioned by visiting her website, which is www.bettyofbigsur.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.